Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through this first section of the first letter of St. Peter. I'm looking at it today because the church presents to us at Mass this week and following the letter of St. Peter. And there's so much in just this introduction. I've been saying all week that the introduction to the letters of many of the apostles, whether it's the letter to the Ephesians or Peter's letters or Timothy's, the apostles always begin by helping those they love, those they're shepherding, to come to a deeper understanding of what God has done for them. It precedes this knowledge of what God has done has got power. And the apostles know it, and they know it from their own experience, because they've met the Lord, they've met the Holy One of God, and they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they know where their life is headed. Their mind is renewed. They're a part of a new creation, a whole new reality, the kingdom of God that Jesus brought. And they know it's real, that it's not just a thought, it's not some kind of a consoling myth, but what it is it's God's revelation of his purpose and plan. Peter's addressing, as I've been also mentioning all week long, a community in Asia Minor of young Christians, a young Christian community that's being persecuted by the big, huge, influential pagan culture around them. And life is very difficult. Some of the people are being martyred. There's a cost that they have to face, that they have to accept in following Jesus. They're paying a price for being united to Jesus. And it's human nature to say, oh, I don't want this, and why didn't somebody tell me it was going to be like this, and to want to turn and run from it. That's the temptation of the flesh. That's Peter on Holy Thursday night, right? Peter decides to follow Jesus at a distance because the soldiers had come for him, and their world was being blown up right in front of him, despite what Jesus said, and despite what he said to Jesus, that I would never betray you because I love you so much. So when the heat gets turned up, we get tested. What gets tested? Do we love the Lord? I mean, do we really love the Lord? So much that we are absolutely delighted to be identified with him and everything that he teaches and everything that we believe about him. It's an important test. And in many times in history, Christians have come up against people, whether they're religious people or secular people, who said, we want nothing to do with this Christ. We want nothing to do with what you believe. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to lock it down. Or we're going to persecute you if you don't stop, if you don't stop talking about him, if you don't stop living the way you're living. We're going to make life really difficult for you. And so that's been the cycle, you might say. It's happened again and again and again in the last 2,000 years of Christian history. And it's exactly what Jesus said would happen. And it shouldn't surprise us at all, because we live in a fallen world that's under the dominion of darkness. And the church is a kingdom that's broken in. Our king has broken into this land, this reality, this kingdom of this world that's under a dominion and under power. Jesus has come to break that power. He did it first, and now he's actually destroyed the enemy. But each person at a time, one person at a time, has to say yes to Jesus' offer of freedom. And Jesus' power can bring us out of whatever bondage we have. And one of the tests that we end up facing is, are we going to trust him? Are we going to obey him? Are we going to love him? And are we willing to die for him? We'll be tempted to, when it gets tough, when people don't like what we believe, and they mock us or ridicule us or whatever, we're going to be tempted to change what we believe. We're going to be tempted to alter it, to accommodate what we believe, to line up with what people of power believe. And that's the devil's strategy, to neutralize us, to lead us to compromise. And ultimately, what he wants us to do is to betray Christ, like Peter did, and to do it and be unrepentant and die in our sins, so we become slaves to darkness forever. That's what he's after. But what we see here in this letter is Peter began by talking about what every person who's baptized into Christ inherits: faith, hope, and love. And we inherit a kingdom. We inherit a relationship with God the Father. We now become his child. And the life of Jesus, his son, life of the Father, is now flowing through us in the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is a down payment of a promise. It's a promise of a full inheritance, which is sharing in the glory of God, as Peter will say later, to become partakers of the divine nature. And we can see by the light of Christ that this world is passing away. And the end of this world is death. And for those who die apart from Christ, it is dark and without hope. But those who die in Christ, death is just a passageway. It's another pathway of purification to becoming more like Christ, to enter into the eternal life that he wants to give us. Remember, you're made for eternity. You're not made for this world. You're made to be with God and in God's family, sharing in the reality, the truth, the glory, the joy, the happiness, the freedom, and the love beyond all compare. That's where God wants you to go. But the only person who can bring you there is Jesus. He's the one who can give you the down payment of the life that makes you a child of God. And so that happens, and now we live in our lives. And when we get converted to Christ, when we come alive in him, then we live in the world, right? And the world has different ways of looking at things. And it can get intense, like it's beginning to get intense in our culture now. These brothers and sisters here in Asia Minor, Peter's saying, you are suffering various trials. And as a good shepherd, he says, I can see it and I know it. But don't be scared. Don't be shaken. Remember that your enemy has been defeated. The only thing he can do to you is temporary. And even if your plans fall apart here, even if you suffer, don't worry about it. Because that suffering can actually be used by the Lord, applied to your life and received by you in faith and trust in God. It will make you strong. It will purify your trust in him. You'll be able to declare your trust in God no matter what the circumstances are. The Lord loves that kind of faith, friends. He loves that trust in him that Jesus had on the cross. Father, not my will but yours be done. Everything in Jesus, his body was probably crying out, oh, where's God? And the world is saying, come down off that cross. I thought you have a loving father. What loving father would allow his son to be stripped and beaten and bloodied and finally crucified as a criminal unjustly? What kind of father is that? Would you trust in him? And Jesus, remember, he said to us in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 31, he told his apostles in that intimate moment of deep friendship when he's describing what's about to happen, when the devil's going to come, and he said, don't worry, the devil's coming after me, but the devil has no hold on me. It's not about the devil, what he can do. This is about me, about what I'm going to allow him to do. I'm going to obey my Father's commandment. I'm in control here. And I'm going to show the whole world that the only place to be, the only safe place to be, is in the will of my Father, in his commandments, in his purpose, in his plan, living like a child of God that has a loving Father that can be totally trusted. And so Jesus faced the crisis we face in trial and hardship. Where is God? I mean, it's sometimes now I just think when I hear people who are baptized and they face a hardship or something or a disappointment in life, they say, forget it. I'm done with God. I'm done with God. I prayed and I didn't want this thing to happen and it happened, so forget him. And people walk away. Or there's sickness or there's disease and there's trial. Friends, we live in a fallen world. This is not the place where we're going to find our ultimate comfort and happiness. Jesus did not promise us. In fact, he was totally explicit. He did not promise us comfort and security and safety and fun and a jacuzzi, a life of, you know, a limo ride in jacuzzi in Disney World. I mean, this is not, he didn't promise us this kind of comfort. He said, get clear. I will give you a kingdom and everything that belongs to me, but you must first become my disciple. You must repent of your sin. Change your heart. Change the thing you love more than God. Throw your idols on the ground and put God first in your life. Repent of your sin. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. enter his church, and then follow him on the narrow way. And he said, be assured, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you everything. If you want to follow me, you have to be ready to lose your life for me and to be identified with me. And this is where the hostility of the world will come against you, because the world hates me, Jesus said. It hates him. Because what? Because he's the king that brought down the enemy's kingdom. He's the one threat that the devil can't handle in this world. And now the devil can't handle all those who are united to Christ. They're free from the dominion and power of darkness. If they know it, and if they're actually living in it. Not if they have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, or one toe in the kingdom and most of their body in the world. I want all the idols that I want to pursue. I want everything this world has to give me. And I want the comfort. I want the pleasure. I want the power. I want the fame. I want the money. I want the gold. I want all of it. If your heart is there, you expose yourself to remaining under the dominion of Satan and enslavement to him. And what we're hearing from this passage from Peter is he's describing what he sees in this community of people who are being persecuted. He said, this is what characterized them. Listen to this. He says, although you have not seen him, okay, this is like second generation Christians that the apostles have raised up, and some of those that the apostles had mentored to lead and to evangelize and to extend the gospel. They never met Jesus, many of these people, personally, face to face, like the apostles did. But look what the Holy Spirit produced in them as they received the good news of the gospel of our salvation. He describes it this way. Although you have not seen him, you love him. They're radically in love with someone they've never actually met face to face. But they do know him. Jesus said, you know, I know mine and mine know me. He said, I will show myself to them. And how does he do it? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the witness of the church and the saints, right? Without having seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him. What Peter is saying is you don't see him in front of you right now, but you have dedicated your entire life to him. You've said yes to his invitation. He's become the lover of your soul. He's become your food and your life. He's the center of your existence. And as a result, what do they experience? He said, you rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of your souls. See why faith is gold? Because it leads you to your ultimate goal, which is the salvation of your soul, your salvation. And look what God gives these people. They're characterized under persecution, no power, no influence. And what is their experience of life like in the midst of persecution and trial? Indescribable and glorious joy. You can't buy that with all the money in the world. And that's what God wants to give us as we make our way through the challenges and trials of this life. Friends, have a wonderful weekend and live this stuff with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.